From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now! In an extraordinary decision, the World Bank and IMF announced they will...
No, that was Amy Goodman, and this is supposed to be Democracy Now! But there will be no Democracy Now! Today because there's a controversy, there's a conflict. The Pacifica National and the manager at WBAI apparently are doing everything in their power to undermine the sanctity and the ability for the Democracy Now! Team to broadcast. So this is Dennis Bernstein. I'm here with Noel Hanrahan. And for the next hour, we're going to present to you the issue, the conflict, what's happening, how Democracy Now! Is the latest Pacifica program and Pacifica creation to be undermined by this board of corporate raiders, by this renegade executive director, and by this apparently out-of-control manager at WBAI in New York. Earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with Amy Goodman. I managed to do an interview with her on this home tape recorder that I have. I want to just alert the engineer, Lisa Rothman, that this is in right channel only, and it's running a little bit low, so we might have to pump it up. But here is Amy Goodman talking about the struggle to produce Democracy Now!
Amy Goodman, it's just before 9 o'clock. People usually at this time hear a new edition of Democracy Now! You were not able to produce that new edition. Why is that? Why will they not hear a new program today?
Well, they persist to go on the air as they figure out a way, until they can figure out a way to guarantee us a safe working environment. And that's the situation right now. We are, to say the least, extremely harassed and being physically intimidated at WBAI. It is a very serious problem. And unfortunately, at this point, I feel that we clearly are being punished for it when we are the ones being attacked. I was handed a letter of insubordination yesterday from Steve Yasko, citing me for insubordination because we didn't come to the studio yesterday. We broadcast from a safe alternative facility, a video broadcast facility in downtown Manhattan. You know, as people could hear, that was a full-scale studio that we were finally able not to be put in a substandard studio and to be in a safe place. And we are asking to be in a safe place. Instead, I'm cited for insubordination.
Now, on KPFA, people heard that program. Was that program broadcast around the network to the other stations and to the affiliates?
They blocked the broadcast. They refused to carry it. They refused to allow us to do a broadcast today. They are replaying reruns.
When they cite you for insubordination, how do they characterize that? How do they say you're being insubordinate?
They say we refused to report to work, but we did report to work. As you could hear, the work wasn't the unsafe place that is 120 Wall Street. The company, as the union puts it after the company, Pacifica is responsible to maintain a safe workplace, and they have not been able to guarantee that. We have repeatedly written memos to management about extremely unsafe conditions, about being physically intimidated, harassed, and they do not respond. And the latest incidents of Friday, when Eutrice Lee, the interim station manager, physically accosted me, and Monday, when we were in our office preparing for Democracy Now!, and the and two of the newly installed WBAI staff, one person and the operations director, used the super key to enter our office to continue to harass us.
Now, you say a super key.
I think it's here. I think it's here. Yeah. I have to go, Dennis, actually.
All right. Finally, is there a precedent for broadcasting outside of the station and then...
There are many precedents. Gary Knoll does it every day. broadcast from his facility. Bob Henley has an ISDN in his home, the PNN correspondent in our station, another show that goes across the week, does it from another facility. We need to be able to be guaranteed a safe working environment, and also one that is not substandard, as we've been thrown into repeatedly into an editing booth. These are the things that we have to be guaranteed, and they have not been able to guarantee them at this point. And for us to be cited, for me to be cited, and apparently letters are going to the staff, for insubordination is a complete outrage. They're failing. It is not ours.
Finally, is there any hope that the listeners of KPFA and around the country will be able to hear Democracy Now in the near future? What does that look like?
Well, Democracy Now! Is part of listener-supported radio, and it is a tradition that we all have to protect, started more than 50 years ago. And that's the way we continue, is with all of your support. That's what makes the difference. Management has put us in an extremely difficult situation, one that is completely untenable. To have management physically intimidating us, accosting us, is unacceptable. I'm not going to put the staff in that position or myself.
Does that include national management, or is this just happening locally at WBAI?
I don't know what's happening nationally. I know what's happening to us in our workplace, both in terms of our physical safety and in terms of the technical quality of the technical conditions in which we do the broadcast. When we were thrown into Studio 3, the editing booth last week, for absolutely no reason, national management was there, the national programming director, Steve Yasko, as well as the general manager of the station. As we were put in minutes before the broadcast went on the air, without a clock, with substandard studios, the interim station manager was shouting, and laughing, watch them run, watch them run.
All right. Well, we're going to be doing a lot more on this hour to enlighten people in terms of what's going on and what they can do about it. Amy Goodman, we wish you the best of luck, and we will be right with you on this.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right. Take care.
And that was the voice of Amy Goodman in a recorded interview on my little cassette recorder at home. Democracy Now! Is apparently in some kind of negotiations with National or whoever it is that they can talk to try and create a safe atmosphere. You are not hearing Democracy Now! Because it was not produced today. They did not go to their studio yesterday. The program was produced, as you heard, outside of the studios of WBAI because they did not feel they had a safe and workable environment. That show was broadcast here at KPFA, but not to the affiliates. We're going to be talking the rest of this hour about the situation and perhaps how you can help as listeners to respond, to fight back, and to liberate this network from this crew of corporate raiders and this renegade executive director. Joining us now, either by ISDN line or on the telephone, is Juan Gonzalez. He is the former co-host of Democracy Now! He resigned because of issues such as this. Also with us is Dan Coughlin, the former national news director, I believe that was his title. Bernard White, the fired program director from WBAI in New York. I believe Errol Maitland, who works closely as technical director, other support systems on Democracy Now!, and we will be speaking with other people as well. Juan Gonzalez, I want to begin with you. Welcome to this special to talk about Democracy Now!
Well, thank you, Dennis. My pleasure.
All right, Juan, we hear a lot about what's going on at WBAI and what appears to be very brutal tactics on the part of Utrice Lead and sort of the staff who she has hired and inspired there. But this is really a chain of command situation. It starts at the top with the board, with the executive director. Could you talk a little bit, give us your analysis of what's happening here and why?
Well, you know, this has been building for quite a while now, I think, and the amazing thing, and I think one of the things that Amy, as I understand it, has raised to the management is not only the constant harassment of the show, but also the on-air attacks, the personal attacks that various people at BAI have made on the air, including the interim station manager, directly against Amy. I mean, I think it's unheard of that you have managers and others personally attacking on the air by name one of the hosts of the most popular show of the network, and this has been going on for months, and it clearly is being supported by Bessie Wash. And you know, the situation at Pacifica now at the national level is in such chaos that it's not really even clear who is calling the shots. I mean, it very well may be that since the resignation of Chairman David Acosta and practically the entire executive committee of Pacifica, that Bessie Wash, the executive director, has engineered a coup within a coup, you know, of hardliners against those who weren't hard enough within the Pacifica board from her perspective, and that in essence that when they fired Epstein, Becker, and Green and brought in an even more high-powered corporate law firm in Williams and Connolly, that was the signal of the coup within the coup, and that that Bessie Wash, supported by her station managers at all the stations except yours, and I have to really applaud KPFA for putting Democracy Now! On the air yesterday, and in essence, unmasking the lie of Bessie Wash that Amy didn't report to work yesterday. If she didn't report to work yesterday, how did KPFA get a broadcast of Democracy Now? So that I think that that Bessie Wash is emerging as a much more active player, even though she's not a member of the board, in the current extremism that has gripped the managers and policymakers at Pacifica.
Now, Juan Gonzalez, I called Bessie Wash's office 2 days ago when this latest situation started to unfold, and I asked to speak with Ms. Wash. I spoke with somebody who said she was Bessie Wash's assistant. She asked if I was a journalist. I said, I'm a journalist. I work at KPFA, and I've been a contributor to many Pacifica programs and national broadcasts. She said, so you're a journalist. There's a PR firm. I think he said the name was their PR flack now is Mr. Powell. Is this PR firm part of this cabal to suppress, undermine, and lie about what's really going on?
Well, it's interesting. The West Hill Partners, which is a new PR firm, you're talking now about major league damage control firms. West Hill Partners was headed for many years by a guy by the name of John Scanlon, who died this year, and I happen to know Scanlon very well because when we were on strike at the New York Daily News in 1990-91, Scanlon was a representative of the Tribune Company, who tried to, whose job it was to portray our unions and our strike as a violent, crazed affair. He was the damage control guy for the Tribune Company. He's also the guy who was the PR guy for Brown and Williamson when they were trying to paint the whistleblower Wiggins, I think, the guy who appeared on 60 Minutes, and Scanlon was the guy who went all around the country spreading slanderous attacks on the whistleblower. Scanlon's firm is so notorious in journalistic circles as the hired gun of, I mean, basically, if West Hill Partners represents you, it's like the typical representative of a mob lawyer. People instantly know you're guilty. And I happen to know some people at West Hill Partners, actually, who are former journalists. And so they, Pacifica has hired one of the top corporate image control firms in the country now in West Hill Partners, as well as a major league corporate law firm in Williams and Connolly. And Pacifica, the managers of Pacifica don't travel in those circles. This is totally unheard of for such a small nonprofit foundation to hire such major league lawyers and PR firms. And so it is clear that somebody in this country is really worried about this democracy movement at Pacifica and the impact or the ripple effect that it might have across the country, because the bringing in of these high-powered firms means that the powerful people are concerned about this movement.
You're listening to KPFA. This is Not Democracy Now. That's the show that you would be used to hearing at this time. Democracy Now! Was not produced today. The staff of Democracy Now! Has said that they no longer have a safe environment to produce within the walls of WBAI in terms of the extreme surveillance. They are talking about, they are claiming physical and verbal intimidation, various kinds of attacks against the staff. They produced the show outside the station yesterday. That show was carried here, but not to the affiliates. It was denied by Pacifica, not carried to the affiliates. We decided that KPFA needs to support our brothers and sisters in New York and Democracy Now!, as we know that this is enlightened self-interest. If they came for us yesterday, now they're coming for Democracy Now!. They'll be back to get us tomorrow. We are all in this together. That was the voice of Juan Gonzalez. Later on, you'll be speaking with, we'll be hearing from Bernard White, Dan Coughlin, and others, Errol Maitland, and others who are very concerned, who are associated with Pacifica and Democracy Now!. I'm Dennis Bernstein. I'm here in the studio with Noel Hanrahan of Flashpoints.
Juan Gonzalez, tell us why you originally resigned from Democracy Now! In January, and what you think the specific strategic motivation and also the political motivation for them attacking Amy Goodman at this point is.
Well, I mean, I originally resigned because I clearly saw within a couple of weeks of the December coup in WBAI, when Yatrice Lee basically unmasked herself and went on the air and instituted the ban or gag rule at WBAI, because for the first 2 weeks after the firings and the Christmas coup, there was quite a bit of debate among listeners and staff on the air about what was happening. Suddenly one day Yatrice got on the air and said, this is it. I'm putting down the edict. There will be no more discussions of any of this. It will not be tolerated. I'm paraphrasing here, but it's a pretty close paraphrase. And anybody who dares to talk about this on the air will be subject to immediate dismissal. It wasn't just what she said. It was the tone in which she said it and her manner. And I said, oh, this is the imposition of a dictatorial rule. And even though I had not made any comments, because obviously in Democracy Now! We were basically, you know, we only did, I think, in the last year, maybe a couple of shows on the whole Pacifica controversy. I still felt that that kind of an edict was the prelude to a much more of a dictatorship at the station, and I didn't want to be a part of it, and I felt it was time to act. And so I, you know, resigned on the air and started working with the Pacifica campaign to unseat the board. Since then, we've seen a continued consolidation of that dictatorship, more and more people being fired and banned. I think the number's up to now, like 23 at WBAI, and Yatrice Lee has continued to consolidate her power. And as I mentioned before, I think what's happened, given the fact that three out of the four officers of the Pacifica Foundation have resigned, Michael Palmer was the treasurer, Andrea Sisco was the secretary, David Acosta was the chairman, there's only one officer left, and that's Ken Ford, the vice chair. So in essence, the Pacifica board is now, while there's still a bare majority supporting this corporate takeover, on a day-to-day basis, there's no one in charge except Bessie Wash, and she has she's basically with her station managers, Mark Shubb in Los Angeles and Garland Ganter in Houston, and the Washington station manager and Yatrice Lee. They are now trying to basically clean house before there can be any changes at the board level. And I think what they're doing that's why they decided to start turning the screws even tighter on Democracy Now, because I think at the board level, there's still debate over what to do with the continued opposition of Amy to the policies of the board, and what, how much they're willing to take in heat by trying to openly fire her. So Eutrice and Bessie are attempting to squeeze Amy as much as possible, make life impossible for her, and drive her out. And I think this is what was the cause of this latest this latest incident that began last week.
And that was the voice of Juan Gonzalez. This is Noelle Hanrahan with Dennis Bernstein. This is a special on Democracy Now. We'd like to bring in now Dan Coughlin. Dan is the fired news director at Pacifica National News, also a member with Juan Gonzalez of the Pacifica campaign, trying to root out the illegitimate national board, which is raining havoc on all of us. Dan Coughlin, are you there?
Hi, Noelle. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What I'd like you to tell our listenership is, how did this unfold? You were a producer for Democracy Now. You've seen the level of harassment over the number of years that it's been going on, and now it's coming to this really pressure cooker stage. But tell us, what have you seen over the last year or so? How has this unfolded, the kind of pressure they've brought to bear on Amy and Democracy Now?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that in many ways the crisis around Democracy Now! Mirrors the crisis of the Pacifica Radio Network in terms of programming. So what Democracy Now! Represents, I think, for many listeners across the country is reporting in the Pacifica tradition that is intellectually stimulating, socially engaged, politically informative, and it is a program that is at the tip of the arrow of time, just like Pacifica has been for 50 years. And if we contrast that to what the present Pacifica regime envisages, it's a station like KPFT, which is essentially a music station, a jukebox with a top 40 playlist that is determined by record companies in pursuit of profit. So we see clearly the contrast in terms of programming about what this whole Pacifica struggle is all about. It's crystallized right now in the Democracy Now! Debate. Having said that, I think what we can do is to put a little context into what in fact has happened to Democracy Now! Over the last year. Because the crisis at Democracy Now! Really started concretely last summer during the Republican and Democratic conventions. And if you remember, it started when Amy and the Democracy Now! Producers were disciplined for having interviewed Ralph Nader, an open political act against the Democracy Now! Production team, in a very hotly contested election atmosphere. And we can look subsequently at some of the other attempts to discipline Democracy Now! And when they occurred and why. The next time was over Amy's interview with Lori Berenson. That wasn't specifically the issue, but the next discipline came down at the time of her world-exclusive interview with Lori Berenson, the jailed American in Peru.
Now, I think that our audience will be shocked that Amy is subject to this kind of harassment. I remember Amy a couple years ago telling me that they came to her, Pacifica management, and asked her if she could get someone that was pro-NAFTA, that they actually harassed her on a daily, weekly basis with some of these outrageous suggestions.
Well, this has been going on for a long time, and I think, Noelle, you've experienced a lot of this in terms of trying to get the voices of prisoners on death row on the air, where that has always been a big battle at a senior level within Pacifica, specifically around Mumia Abu-Jamal. But that is a constant. But what we see happening with Democracy Now! Is the big crackdowns are happening often at times when a show is most successful, when it's breaking the biggest stories, when Amy did the interview with President Clinton, when Amy did the interview with Lori Berenson, when Amy did the interview with Ralph Nader. It's at these crucial times that the repression has hit the show. And again, this is what the whole Pacifica struggle is about. Do we have a top 40 playlist, a jukebox radio station whose music is determined by the record companies, or are we interested in, you know, an intellectually stimulating, socially engaged, politically informative programming that really seeks to understand and change the world that we live in?
Dan, if I can break in for 1 second.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, to add something in terms of the context that Dan is talking about, the economic context of what's happening for For instance, just a couple of weeks ago, there was an announcement in New York that ESPN had reached an agreement with WEVD, an AM talk station, which, and by the way, the call letters for WEVD are Eugene V. Debs, because the station was started by socialists in the 30s, and they made an agreement for ESPN to turn it into a sports talk station, with ESPN having an option for $78 million to buy the station in 2 years, but to run it immediately. Now, $78 million for an AM station, right, an AM station, when WBAI is an FM station, and even the market analyst said that the station was worth more, the AM station, that would indicate that the value of a station like WBAI is a lot higher than many of us had been estimating. At the same time, yesterday's Wall Street Journal, very interesting article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal about a religious broadcasting network that is beginning to buy up NPR stations, and that NPR is now being faced with a religious right movement beginning to move in on its public radio stations, and it's fighting a holding action. You're seeing the increasing restriction and contraction of community and public radio in this country by either market forces or conservative forces.
Well, let me jump in here for a moment, Juan Gonzalez. Dennis Bernstein here with Noel Hanrahan. It's important that you bring this up, because I probably don't have to remind some listeners that what got me arrested and first attacked by Garland Gantner with 3 to 6 armed private security force members is when I went on the air to break the story that we had obtained the email from the former board member, the international real estate entrepreneur Michael Palmer, talking in very serious, specific terms about selling KPFA and or WBAI. Now, when I went on the air, after I got off the air, that's when they came after us. That's when they shut us down, dragged us out, hammered up boards on the station here, put chains on, locks and chains on the doors, and tried to program in some kind of canned music and programming from another location, because they had every intention of selling these stations. And one of the things, and I direct people back to that memo, which is on savepacifica.net, and it's all over the place, people should go and read that email, because what he said was, we can sell KPFA, but we might have a better shot at WBAI, because the institution itself is not as much a part of the community. It doesn't have as much support throughout the entire city. New York's a bigger city. You can steal it more easily. And it appears that they have now come back to WBAI.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that there's a confluence here. See, in our movement, sometimes we spend a lot of time debating, well, is it really a political hit that's going on against Pacifica, or is it an economic hit? I think it's a confluence of the interests of both. Both the interests of those who want to make a buck, as well as the interests of those who want to silence the radical and progressive news and information and debate that occurs on Pacifica. And we have to understand that there's a meeting of the minds of both the greedy and the repressive in terms of being able to find a way to rein in Pacifica, the very people who claim that Pacifica is becoming more and more irrelevant, are, I think, the people who understand precisely how important and how relevant the Pacifica network is to the social and political movements in American society.
Well, Juan Gonzalez, we want to thank you. We know that you're on deadline as well. We want to thank you very much for joining us. We agree with you that this sort of appears to be a mob.